Chofres Tammuz, Wednesday, 18th of July, Rabbi David Kaplan, Kass.
Good morning, Shalom Aleichem. They say nothing changes. They say something's never changed. Something do change. The base medrash has changed since the last time we've been here. You know, and it's the Kiddush Hashem to walk in to such a base medrash compared to what it was like. What it was like last time. Something's never changed. When I saw the Bochum in Eretz Yisrael from England walking around depressed, I knew that England must have lost in a shootout. So that's something. Something's never changed, but something do change. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Yikvod chavercha chavilecha kishaloch valtino achlichos. The Lezer said, your friend's honor should be beloved to you like your own. Valtino achlichos, do not be easily angered. It's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. So I think that during the 3 weeks when there is an emphasis, even though the Beis Hamikdash, people may always make a mistake, people say, well, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. It was also destroyed because of Vozor Gilayis and Shechus Domin. Those are also issues that we have to deal with in our life, Vozor Gilayis and Shechus Domin. But there is the issue of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, so I want to speak a little bit about that today. The Mishnah says, quote Chavercha Chavi V'Lecha Kishalach, your friend's honor should be beloved to you like your own. The alti noach lichos, do not be easily angered. So the pashup shot is that when you're easily angered, a person, when they get angry, so then if a person really goes off, they can lose total control, and their friend's honor means nothing to them. Their friend's sensitivities means nothing to them, because a person gets angry, and you just absolutely go bananas, and then the entire world ceases to exist. That's why the Gemara in Irvin says, Odom begimol b'shosha dvarim odom nikar b'koso b'kiso v'kasos. Everybody knows, famous line, but the question of knowing, there's knowing it and there's applying it. They're two different things. It says, a person is nikar b'koso b'kiso v'kaso. Koso means when he's in his cups, when a person is drinking. We're not talking about drinking coffee. We're talking about drinking when a person is loaded. And then how he behaves when he's drunk tells you something about a person. B'kiso is how a person behaves with money. My father, should live me well, when I was growing up, he always tried to drum into my head that there are two parts of life. There is how people are, and there's how people are around money. And he tried to drum that in. And Chazal say, bekiso means how a person is when it comes to his money, tells you a tremendous amount about a person. Chazal say, the Pasuk says, tzedakah tatzel bimavis, because when it comes to, why tzedakah, you give away tzedakah and it saves from death. Why should tzedakah save from death? The answer is that when a person gives away money, for many people, giving away their money, it feels like they're being killed, which is like they're giving away their life blood, which is true. Because if a person gives away money, he feels, I spent time of my life earning this money. Now why should I give it to you? My life went into this money, and now you're asking for it, and I'm giving it to you. So mimela, I'm giving up my life for you, because that was my life that earned the money. Mimela tzedakah, midakin agamida tzedakah, Tatzel mimavis. So there's koso, there's kiso, and the last one is kaso. Person is recognized in his anger. And the Mefarshim say that koso doesn't come up every day. Koso doesn't come up every day. You guess sometimes there are days where you go to a chasna, you go somewhere where you're drinking, then there's a mesiba, then you tell a person. Kiso, also there are certain days of the year that it doesn't apply. Shabbos, Yontif, you're not always giving away money. Kaso, there's always the potential for kas. There's always the potential to tell a person by kas. Shabbos and Yom Tov, sometimes even especially so, because then you're around family. And that can even become more than when you're at work, when you're with colleagues and you got to impress people is one thing. When you're home and you're out and a person is vulnerable, then it's a little bit different. I mean, may look, it's koso, kiso, in kaso. And the test of kas is every day. Now, there's an interesting shaila came up in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein had an interesting shaila. There was an activist working for a certain kiruv organization, and he was doing kiruv down in the south of Israel, I think in Ashkelon, and while he was there, a siren went off because there's a missile attack from Gaza. So this guy quickly drove off the side, this activist drove off the side of the road to get to a bomb shelter, and he, what's that?
An activist,
a kiruv worker, a kiruv activist. An outreach activist, and he drove off the side of the road to get to a some sort of bomb shelter, and as he drove off the side of the road, he killed a dog. And then after the all clear sounded, he came out of the thing, and then it turned out that the dog belonged to the secular family there, and they accosted him. They said, listen, you killed our dog, and it was very precious. We loved our dog, and it was the dog, dog, dog. And the guy then went into the house with the people. He was very apologetic for killing the dog. He said, after all, there was a siren. After all, there was a missile attack, and I was just trying to save my life. And of course, the Haredim are blamed for everything. You kill dogs too. So the guy went into the house and he spoke to the people and calmed them down. And somehow they made a very good connection. The next week he came back, and slowly but surely he brought these people closer. These people became frum. And eventually they said to him, listen, these were people, very, very well-to-do people. They said to him, listen, you're doing your outreach here in this region of Israel. We happen to have a very, very big room in our home that you could use as a shiur room, a room for shiur room and lectures. We'll let you use this room. We only have one. We'll make it into a little base medrash. We only have one request, that we name the base medrash after the dog. Right? The dog's name was Igor. We want to call it Base Igor. Al Shem HaDog. That was the shaila that came. Are you allowed to call the base medrash Al Shem HaDog? So, which is an interesting question. And so the psak was, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brought a brilliant raya from the Gemara mentions it, Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tes, is one of the Amoraim. One of the Tanoim is actually called Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta. Rabbi Yochanan of the Axe. And there's a Yerushalmi that says that Rabbi Yochanan was actually a non-Jew. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta was a non-Jew. And he, as a non-Jew, he once bought an axe from a Jew. And the Jew's axe came over to work for Rabbi Yochanan. At the time, he was not Rabbi Yochanan yet. And the Jew's axe was working for him. The axe refused to work on Shabbos because as a Jewish axe, he didn't work on Shabbos. So when he was sold to the non-Jew, the axe would not work on Shabbos. So the Jewish owner...
Ox, yes.
The Jewish ox, yes. How silly of me, I forget. Yes. So the ox wouldn't work on Shabbos. Anyway, you didn't know what I was saying, did you? You had no idea. Clueless. What's an ox? No. This is a Jewish. An ox. And so that's very painful. That's very painful for me. The ox wouldn't work on Shabbos, and the goy was upset. So he said to the Jew, hey, listen, I bought the ox. He's not working on Shabbos. So the Jew came over and he whispered into the ox's ear that, when you were with me, it's only 6 days. Now you're with the goy, you have to work all 7 days. And the ox started working. So the goy was so impressed that he was Mizgayer, and he became Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta. Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta means Rabbi Yochanan of the ox. That he is named Al Shem the Maisa with the ox. So because Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Paskin, that if you could name a Tana in honor of a Turta, of an ox, so you can name a Beis Medrash Al Shem HaDog, right? And therefore, there's a Beis Medrash somewhere in Eretz Yisrael called Beis Igor. There's a Beis Medrash Beis Igor. There was another shadow that came up. Somebody's dog died, a little boy, and he wanted to know if he could learn Mishnayis Le'ilui Nishmas HaDog. That he didn't matter. You learn a Mishnah starts with a Dalet and a Vav and a Gimel. That you're not allowed to do. There's a limit. The reason I bring it up is, look what would have happened. I mean, imagine you driving off the side of a road to avoid a missile attack, and somebody accosts you for killing their dog. In life, when people get aggressive with us, we get aggressive back. Imagine the response of any normal human being. Imagine if this kiruv worker would have responded the way a normal person would have responded. Imagine what he would have lost. The whole family now, and now you've got better kiruv activity, all because he controlled himself. So you see that when it comes to kas, there's a Chazal say, Kol shekoyes, the person gets angry, afilu poskin lo gedula mina shemayim, even if he was meant to rise to prominence, moridin oso. A person who was meant to rise to prominence, because he gets angry, he loses the prominence. Now, where does that come from? Chazal say, it comes from David HaMelech's brother Eliyav. Says, Vayishma Eliyav achi vagodol bedabru elo anoshim. Eliyav heard when David HaMelech came to the battlefront. And he saw David HaMelech hanging around at the battlefront. David HaMelech went to see his brothers at the battlefront. Vayichar af Eliyav b'David. Eliyav got angry at David. Vayomer lama ziratata, why'd you come down here? Vayomer David, me'asisiata, what did I do? Alo David, did I really do anything wrong? Eliyav got angry at David HaMelech because David HaMelech, he felt, was at the battlefront out of curiosity. He was looking to see what's going on. Eliyav got angry. It says, Vayichar af Eliyav. Chazal say that because Eliyav got angry at David HaMelech, he was meant to be the Melech. Eliyav was meant to be the Melech. Even Shmuel HaNavi, when Shmuel HaNavi came and he saw Eliyav, he thought that this is the one, because he was so impressive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's not the one. Eliyahu got angry, lost control. Mimela, he lost. We would have had today Malchus Beis Eliyahu. Mashiach ben Eliyahu. That's what we would have, that's what he lost. Because of his cast, because of his lack of control, that's what he lost. Kol shekoyes afilu poskin olav gidula min hashamayim moridin oso. Person loses because of what he could lose as a result of his cast. That's what Eliyahu loses. So, the idea is that in the real question is, the real question becomes why? Why is it that if a person, why do Chazal say that because he got angry, so mimele he loses the malchus? Look what he had. Look what he could have had. I heard a maysa once about a prince. There was a prince who was married to a very lazy princess. And I heard from a Hasidic Rebbe, a very brilliant story. He said the prince was married to the princess, and she was a wonderful wife. She only had one problem. She never cleaned the house. She was extremely sloppy. The house was always sloppy, slovenly. So the prince was getting irritated. One day he comes home and says, listen, you're going to start cleaning the house or I'm throwing you out of here. And she said, she's sitting there reading a magazine. And he says, sir, listen, you got 5 minutes. I'm going to eat this cookie. By the time I eat this cookie, if you don't start cleaning, I'm throwing you out of here. And so the prince starts eating the cookie. And she's just sitting there reading her magazine. Finishes eating the cookie. She's not moving. He tells the guards, get her out of here. Right? So the guards banish her from the palace. The next day, he has charata. He loves his princess, and he wants to take her back. There's only one problem. There's a law in the land that when the prince makes a decree, and there's no going back on it, like Ahasuerus. So he doesn't know what to do. So he calls in the wise man. He calls in the first wise man. He doesn't have a solution for him. Second wise man doesn't have a solution for him. He calls in the Jewish wise man. The Jewish wise man says to him, let me ask you a question. Was it a hard cookie or a soft cookie? He said, does that really matter? I mean, you want to know if there are chocolate chips too? You know, what is it really important? He said, just answer my question. Was it a hard cookie or a soft cookie? He says, well, it happened to be a hard cookie. He says, good. If it was a hard cookie, that means there were crumbs. And if there were crumbs, that means you never finished the condition. Because you said when you finish the cookie, then you throw it. She doesn't start that you never finished the cookie because there's still crumbs around. And maybe you could bring her back. That's brilliant. He said, in Yiddishkeit, you find there are certain times where we could recover. You know why? There are crumbs around. It's not too late. There are certain times of life where it is too late. There are certain times where there aren't even crumbs to recover. All we do is we leave a trail behind us, but not a trail of crumbs. A person who gets angry knows how damaging the kas could be, that a person in a state of kas is capable of so much damage, they haven't even got the crumbs to pick up. Now, let's understand this a little deeper, what's really going on here. Why do Chazal say that a person at that level loses so much? So the answer goes, let's go to Reuven for a second. By Reuven, it says, Pachaz Kamayim Al Tosar. It says by Reuven, Pachaz Kamayim Al Tosar. Because you were impetuous like water, therefore you're not going to get the extra portion you were supposed to get. Reuven was supposed to be the Melech, supposed to be the Bechor, he's supposed to be the the Melech, the Bechor, and the Koin, and the Koin. Reuven's supposed to be everything. Look at the Rashi Tevis, Pachas, I'm sure everybody knows. Pachas stands for three things. Poshut. A Poshut is the opposite of a Koin. A Ches is a Choshuch. There's a Posuk that says, Lifnei Melochim velo Mifnei Choshuchim. A Choshuch is the opposite of a Melech. And a Zayin is the opposite of a Koin, is a Zar. A Zar is a non-Koin. Pachas, you're going to be a Pachas, a Poshut, a Choshuch, and a Zar. The opposite of a Melech, a Kohen, and a Bechor, you're going to be a Poshut instead. You know why, Reuben, you lost all three? Pachas, Kamayim, Altosar. Because you were impetuous like water, therefore you lose all three. Now the question becomes like this. If you want to describe somebody being impetuous, I would say somebody being, you are impetuous like a wild bull. That's what I would call somebody who's impetuous. You are impetuous like an angry drunk coming out of a bar. If I wanted to describe somebody who is spontaneous, impetuous without thought, I wouldn't call Pachas Kamayim. You are impetuous like water. I mean, why do we think of water as being impetuous? Water, once all kinds of water, a dam bursts, the water comes out, and it causes a lot of damage. So that could be, that's the Poshim Pshat, Pachas Kamayim, that when water becomes impetuous, water is more dangerous, even more damaging, even than fire. You see, the world's biggest disasters, water puts fire to shame. And the world's biggest disaster. So it could be there's a tsunami, so that's Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar, because you go, okay, it could be. Pashas, that's a Pashim Pshat. But I think Rav Hirsch says a different Pshat. Rav Hirsch says Paras kamayim al tosar is because when you put water into a kli, no matter what kli you put the water into, the water takes the shape of the kli. Paras kamayim means that you are shaped by external events like water. Paras kamayim, you're shaped by external events, therefore, al tosar, you're not going to be able to become the melech. That means that if a person wants to be a melech, in order to be a melech, a person cannot be shaped by external events. A person who's a melech, you can't allow the situation around you to cause your reaction. A person must remain, can you imagine the President of the United States, the President of the United States has something called a football. A football is that, the famous, he's got a, not a sports football, a football is a briefcase that they carry with him that has all the instructions of how to set off a nuclear attack. And wherever the President of the United States goes, there's a man, there's a special military man who is assigned. The President of the United States always has this briefcase within the room, in the area where he is, in order to be able to set off a nuclear, isn't that reassuring, gentlemen? In order to be able to set off a nuclear attack or a nuclear response, they always have this briefcase. Now, can you just imagine the President of the United States getting where he's upset because somebody called it, he's having a bad day, he takes a look at the ratings, and he sees that his ratings are down, and everybody says, you know what, he's in a bad mood, and he immediately responds, he sets off a world calamity. A person, you want to be a melech, a true melech is not shaped by events around you. A melech is somebody who does the shaping, not that he is being shaped. Mimela, it's pachas kamayim altosar. Mimela, Eliyav loses what he was supposed to get because Eliyav was meant to be a melech. But once he gets angry, Eliyav shows that outside events could affect him. It's not a question of we're punishing you. It has nothing to do with punishment. It has to do with, it's a mitzias. It's a gili of the mitzias. You are not suitable to be a king. In the Israeli Air Force, to become an Israeli fighter pilot, in secular Israeli society, that's considered the pinnacle of success. And they used to have a slogan, HaTovim LaTayis. The best ones go to the Air Force. I have friends who are Israeli Baal Tshuvas who today are from some of their massive Tabei Chachamim. One of them told me that in the Air Force, they do all sorts of testing for people. They're constantly testing the soldiers to see, the pilots to see if they're suitable. So one of the tests they'll do, for example, guy walks into a room, and they'll say to the guy, listen, the commander wants to see you. So he walks into the commander's office, and as he walks into the office, the commander says to him, he didn't close the door. If the guy turns around to close the door, he's out of the Air Force. You can't have a guy who's not sure that he closed the door flying an F-16. Gee, did I just shoot off that second missile or I didn't? A guy, you better know if you closed the door. If you want to fly a plane, you better know if you closed the door or not. If you say to the commander, sir, I closed the door, that's chutzpah. You don't speak to commanders that way. You're out of the Air Force. There's only one correct answer. The correct answer is, sir, I closed the door, but if you want me to, I'll check it again. That's the only correct response. So imagine a guy comes up with the wrong response. The guy says, okay, you're out of the Air Force. He says, okay, next time I'll give the right response. Don't worry, it'll be the right response. Says, no, it's not the response we're after. It's an indication of your personality that we're after. You've showed a disqualification. You do not have the instinctive personality necessary in order to fly a plane. A person is going to be a melech. A melech means that you cannot allow yourself to be shaped by what's going on around you. You have to do the shaping. A guy who thinks, a person thinks circumstances around him shape his life, that person is not a melech. Man malchi rabbonon. Rabbonon, a person who is a melech knows, you're not a nigram. You're not somebody who is being affected. You're a gorim. You create the circumstance around you. You don't have to be shaped by the circumstances. The extension of this is beyond anger. You see, the extension of it, anger is only a symptom. Anger just means that a person is in a state of being out of control. Control is something the entire Torah, start to finish. If anybody ever asks you, what is the Torah about? Tell me the Torah, al regel achas. The entire Torah is one theme, all the way through. The entire Torah is a theme of self-control. What we look at, what we eat, how we talk, how we behave, how we think. Every aspect of Torah, you start all the way through in Torah, the entire Torah is a theme of self-control, that a Jew is in total control of himself. Right? Obviously the most difficult avodah in the world. For David Pavarsky Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ponovich, he once broke his elbow or his shoulder or something, one of his arm. He fell and he broke his arm. So the doctor said, they had to put him in a sling. So David Pivarsky said he doesn't want to wear a sling. He actually says, yeah, but your arm has to be immobilized. So he said, okay, Sai, you know, it'll be immobilized. He said, no, you're not allowed to move your arm. So he said, Sai, I won't move it. So the doctor said, yeah, but you can't move it at night while you're sleeping either. So David Pivarsky said, okay, Sai, I won't move it while I'm sleeping either. Yeah, I remember hearing that. What second? You know, when you're sleeping, you're off duty. You know, there's no such thing as sleeping. You know, Gedolei Yisrael are in such control. There are plenty of stories about Gedolei Yisrael who decide to go to sleep for 7 minutes. And 7 minutes later, they wake up on the dime. Because yeah, they're total control. The control extends everywhere. It also controls when it comes to moments. It controls the frustration. There's a Shiloh in Eretz Yisrael. A guy asked a Shiloh. To his credit, at least he asked a Shiloh. There's a man got on a bus in Eretz Yisrael. It was he was on vacation. He took his four children up on a tiul, on a hike to the north of Israel. And so they're coming back home at the end of a long, grueling day with four tired, cranky children. And they had to get on a bus. They're all the way up at somewhere in Rosh HaNikra. They had to go all the way down to Tel Aviv and then catch another bus to Yerushalayim. So the guy gets on the bus. The bus is full. There isn't a seat on the bus. He's standing there with four tired, cranky children. He's tired and cranky. Everybody's tired and cranky. He's on the bus, and he, you know, he's getting frustrated. He's got a long way home. He's got about 3 hours home, 3.5 hours home. And the bus, at a certain point, the guy got so frustrated, he had his cell phone. He took his phone, and he said, yeah, I took him to the doctor. He said, two of them have the Mexican flu for sure, and two of them probably have Mexican flu. Right? At the next stop, half the bus cleared out. Then he and the children sat down, wonderful. By the time he got back to Yerushalayim, he said to the Rav, you know, maybe it wasn't proper. Right. Maybe it was Gnevas Das. The Rav said to him, not maybe, and not Gnevas Das. It's absolute gezel, because you forced the people off the bus. The people had to buy new tickets on another bus. You took money. You caused a hefsid to all those people on the bus. Yeah, you caused that. I want to know, how do you do tshuva for such a thing? How do you do tshuva? Okay, so you got to do, what do you call it? Tzorchei Rabim, whatever it is, go build another shul, whatever it is, build another bus. Whatever it is that you do, do something. Tzorchei Rabim. At the end of the day, the fact that a person is there, we're in that situation every day. Yom yom, we have tension. Yom yom, we have stress. Yom yom, we're in tight situations. The fact that a person is in a tight situation doesn't mean he's allowed to lose control. The entire theme of the Torah is not to lose control. We had a Rebbe used to say, anybody could learn when they feel like learning. The trick is to learn when you don't feel like learning. That's the trick. To learn when you feel like learning, what's wrong learning with the guys? It's like doing anything that you feel like doing. But when you don't feel, when you got a headache and you're tired and things aren't going well and finances are tight, and then a person does it. That's the self-control. That, to control when things, I'm in great control when things are going well, when the weather is good and finances are good, I'm in total control. Wonderful. So what? Let's see what you're like when you come home at the end of the day and you're hungry and you expect supper ready on the table, and there's noise in the house and it's not quite what you want to eat, your wife's on the phone, whatever it is, then a person has to be in control. That's the test of a person is a melech or not. The Gemara Sota says that when Yosef HaTzadik became, Paro appointed Yosef HaTzadik. So Gemara Sota says the Mitzrayim objected. They say, listen, you're appointing an Eved over us. You're appointing an Eved, Yosef, you're paying this guy. So Paro said to them, Ginunei Malchus ani roevo. I see characteristics of Malchus. He's got the characteristics of Malchus. Yosef carried himself. He's beautiful. He knows how to respond to a king. Ginunei Malchus ani roevo. That's what the Gemara says. Poshup Shat in the Gemara. You know what Malchus means? Yosef's got the character to be a king. He carries himself properly. He's got all the dignity. He knows exactly what it is to be a king. But it's much deeper than that. Ginunei Malchus ani roevo means Yosef was a true melech. Yosef is the ultimate act of self-control. Yosef is the one who sholeit on himself. In the most difficult, trying situations, Yosef is, that's a melech. The melech is somebody who's sholeit. The melech rules over himself, controls himself under the most difficult circumstances. That's the melech. Mimele, Paro says, Kinune Malchus ani robo. There's one problem here. Let's face the facts. The fact is that it's difficult. And the fact is that many of us, at a certain stage in life, as young as we are, we get to a stage in life where we feel, you know, this is basically who I am. And it's not going to change. Maybe the next generation, I'll work on them. That's why parents always want kids to be good. Because we've given up on ourselves already. Maybe, you know, they'll be everything that I don't, that I wasn't, that I aren't, that I am-ins, or whatever you pronounce it here. They'll be everything that I ain't, right? And it's much easier to work on my kids than work on myself, that's for sure. Right? It's much easier to tell my kids to stop talking during davening instead of telling myself to stop talking during davening. It's much easier to tell my kids to have kavanah during benching than they have me have kavanah during benching. But I want to give one word of encouragement. A little word of, so we should end with a little bit of encouragement. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Beis. And the Gemara says like this. Zekeno de Rebbe Preda, Rebbe Preda's ancestor, Ashkecha hu gulgalta da v'shadya v'shara Yerushalayim. He found a skull in the gates of Yerushalayim. V'avakosu v'ilavei zos v'odacheres. There's a pasuk written on the skull. Kavra, he buried it. V'hoder novuv. It popped out of the earth. Kavra, v'hoder novuv. He buried it again and it popped out of the earth again. The skull popped out of the earth. So he said, this must be the skull of King Jehoiakim. The Gemara talks about the curse that Jehoiakim got. So what did he do? He took this skull, and he brought it home, and he wrapped it up in shiroi. He wrapped it up in silk. And he put the skull in his desk drawer or something. Now, he put it in a box. His wife came along. You know what it's like when a wife goes through her husband's stuff. You know, when your wife goes looking through your desk drawer. And all these things start disappearing, you know, when women get into the Erev Pesach mood. You know, it's like the men just lie down and spread their arms. Or anything you could get under your body, you get to keep. Everything else gets thrown out. And your wife is just on a search and destroy mission. And I said, no, 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 that's my wallet. No, put it away or out it goes. You know, no, have mercy. We all know what it's like. So his wife goes and she finds this wedding call. She's looking through his stuff. And she finds, his wife finds a skull in her husband's closet, in a box. So what do? She went and told her neighbor. What else do you do? Who else does a woman consult with? You know, they're both Amri Lay. So what did the neighbor was, the local maven, she says to her, hide the Itzak Kamaisi. That's the skull of his first wife. Right? Deloka Manchila. He can't forget her. He can't forget her, so he keeps the skull around as a token of a memento of his first wife. First of all, we don't even know that he was married to the first wife. You know, can't imagine a wife goes to the neighbor that's the skull of his first wife. And the wife is, oh wow, that's terrible. one detail? He never had a first wife. No, yeah, but the neighbor said. Oh, okay, then I guess he's got a chalos of first wife now. So that's the Gemara doesn't say. So what'd she do? She took it into the oven, she burnt it up, and destroyed it. Okay. One question. On a whole piece of Gemara, I had one question. Who is this man? Who is this man? What does Chazal tell us? Zikno, Zikeno de Rebbe Preda. His Rebbe Preda's answer, well, the man doesn't have a name. The man doesn't have a name. Zikeno de Rebbe Preda once found the skull. And why didn't you just tell me the man's name? What's the king of Rebbe Preda? What's the other with Rebbe Preda? So I thought to myself, shout is like this. Who's Rebbe Preda? That everybody knows. The Warren Erevin says, Rebbe Preda is the one that had a Talmud to him 400 times. So I was telling him 400 times, every lesson 400 times. I mean, you can imagine what that's like. I'm a Rebbe in Yeshiva. By the time we get to number 3, I'm already tired. 400 times he taught every lesson. One day, the Gemara says, one day, somebody came into the room and said to Rebbe Preda, you're needed for a mitzvah. So, okay, so he gets to number 400. He says, okay, do you understand? The Talmud says, no. Imagine how that must feel. You know? So you just think, 398, did you get it? No. Okay, let's try again. 399, did you get it? No. Okay, here we go, the last one. The teacher of the 400th, and it still doesn't get it. So Rebbe Preda said, what happened? He says, well, from the moment they came and called you for the Dvar Mitzvah, I wasn't able to concentrate. You couldn't tell me. You couldn't tell me at number 117 that you already lost your concentration. I'm not sure exactly how that worked. So Rebbe Preda taught him another 400 times. So I have one question. Where did Rebbe Preda get those kochos anefesh from? Where did Rebbe Preda get those kochos anefesh to be able to do such a thing? You know where it comes from? Zikna de Rebbe Preda. Imagine you found the skull. What would your reaction be if you found the skull? I know what I would do. I'd head the other direction. All right, I'm a coin. But besides that, other technical reasons, I'm not fond of skulls. And if I buried a skull and it popped itself out of the earth, I certainly wouldn't try a second time. If it popped itself out, I certainly wouldn't. And then if it popped itself out a second time, I certainly wouldn't bring it home and put it in my box. I wouldn't keep it in the home. Person understands, Zikna de Rebbe Preda means that Rebbe Preda got what he got from his, where it was passed down genetically. You've got an ancestor who doesn't give up. I mean, mainly you've got that tchuna as well. There's a tchuna in you also that you don't give up. You got a Talmud. You're going to teach it 400 times. That's what, when we wonder about what's our achrayas with the next door, what's our achrayas with Dori Doros, where did we get our tchuna from? There's always somebody up above us. There's always somebody that something's being passed down. What's nogea to us is, you see one thing from Rebbe Preda, you see something from Zikna to Rebbe Preda, that we can't give up. See, we can't give up. As difficult as it is, the person says, yeah, well, I'm trying, boom, I flew off the handle again, and I got angry again. I snapped again. I lost control again. It doesn't matter. The name of the game isn't perfection. The name of the game is to get to a point where we never get angry, that's not going to happen, not in Olam Hazeh. It's never going to happen, a person is absolutely perfect. But if you get angry last week, you only got angry 7 times. And this week you only got angry 5 times, so that means improvement. That means we have to take the steps and make the improvement and keep trying. The skull flops itself out of the ground, so you try again. The Talmud doesn't understand, you try again. In our own character development, all of our, we've given up on ourselves. No reason to give up on ourselves. Didn't go, so we try again. I mean, Mela during the 3 weeks where there's a concern for Ben Odom Lachadero and the interpersonal relationships, it begins more than anything else with the Mida of Kas, that a person should understand that to the degree that I'm out of control, I'm endangering another person, because if I'm out of control, chances are I'm going to hurt somebody else.